Welcome back, ladies, to the program today. And this is our segment two, where we do our Bible study. So if you have a Bible or a computer, go to 1 Peter, and we're going to start in, 1 Peter chapter 1, right around 13, verse 13 there. So you can find that while we welcome our teacher, Connie Stanfill. Connie, welcome back.
Oh, thank you. Good morning.
I'm glad you are here. And you know, ladies, Connie has put together some beautiful study notes. You can find those at naomistable.com under the Bible Studies tab. And you can use those to lead your own discussion. We're happy to help out. We're going to expand a little bit more today. This one is, in my text, it says, subtitle, Be Holy. So we're going to get down to some practical tips here. And this is really a key that we need to focus on today. It says this in 13, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Wow, a lot there, Connie.
Yes, and here Peter is getting very practical, because he's been telling us in the other lessons we've done just the wonders and the glories and the privilege of being God's chosen child, and what's that salvation that we will finally be fully realized when we see Jesus Christ when he appears. So Peter in verse 13 says, therefore, so that means in light of everything I've all just said, he has some instructions for the readers of his letter, and it says, preparing your minds for action. And that means really getting ready to obey. And that's obedience. It takes a mindset of wanting to obey. And it says, and being sober-minded or self-controlled or different forms. Really, the Greek means to be free from every form of excess, spiritual, mental, physical, anything. And so you're going to be in control. And then the main point here is to set your hope fully on the grace. And so that's where it starts. We keep coming back to the living hope of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead. Our salvation is sure. And so we set our hope fully on we're going to be with him one day and have the inheritance of heaven. And we've got this assurance of scripture. It's been pointing to him and that he has realized for us. And so that's where we are. We're setting our hope on Jesus Christ. And then it says that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so again, fully realized when Jesus returns, when he comes back. Verse 14, Peter says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. And so we get a glimpse. These might have been Gentile believers mostly because they didn't know God's way. They didn't know him. They didn't know what his law said. And so Peter's saying, because you've been born again and set apart by the Holy Spirit to be God's child, and the Holy Spirit is working in your lives, you can't be as you were before. You're a new creature, and you don't want to do those same things. Yeah. And we've talked, I think, Amy, before about how as we grow in the Lord, sin becomes very apparent to us.
Oh,
and
yes.
We're the Holy Spirit is quick to point them out, I think.
Yeah, have you ever heard the analogy of, you know, we live up here in the northern area where we have snow quite a bit of the time of the year. And you, if you put that in a clear glass and let it melt, you know, it looks white. It looks fine when it's snow, but you shine a flashlight in there. And as it melts, you can really start to see some things. Well, that flashlight could be, you know, the light of Christ revealing to us, wow, we're really not all that we thought we were.
Correct. And so we so need the Holy Spirit and to depend on God, trust in God to help us work on those things. Verse 15 tells us, but as he who called you is holy, so you also be holy in all your conduct or all you do and say. Yeah. And the reason is in verse 16, since it is written, you shall be holy for I am holy. That's from Leviticus. That's what God the Father told to the children of Israel. They didn't have the Holy Spirit to help them, but we do. And so God's purpose for us is to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. And so if we are born again, he is working in our lives to make us holy.
Mm.
And again, that's something for Peter's readers to remember. And there's something about knowing what God's word says and desiring what God wants. And then when we sin and fall, or the Holy Spirit convicts us of something, turning again to Christ and saying, help me with this.
Yes. We can't do it on our own, can we?
Not at all.
No.
But it's a beautiful thing, because then Peter's going to remind them of who God the Father is and just how they've been saved. Verse 17, he says, and if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile. This temporary time when we're on earth, God the Father is a perfectly just judge, and he calls sin, sin. And
yes.
So we can't hide it from him, and we need to acknowledge and actually desire to please him.
Mm.
And then going on, we have a further reason to desire to be holy, because Peter writes in verse 18, knowing that you've been ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers. Again, a point that all people are sinful and we don't do God's will. And then it says, not with perishable things such as silver or gold. And so here again, we've talked about what the world values, the
yes.
treasures of the world. It says, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. And actually, we need to acknowledge the precious blood of Christ is of infinite worth,
yes.
because he's God's son. And that's what purchased our redemption. And when we think about what he endured and endured God's wrath for our sin, why would we want to sin?
It's so offensive to God when we do. And I'm so thankful that he gives us that gift of repentance, that we can turn from it.
Yes, we are forgiven. And
yeah.
So, yes, we do fall and we stumble, but we turn again to him and he picks us up, dusts us off, and gets us on our feet again.
Yes.
And that's good. And then verse 20 tells us he was foreknown. That's Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ was foreknown. He was chosen just like we were. It says before the foundation of the world. So God the Father's plan always was to save us in Christ. And then it says, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you. And we were just talking about how the scriptures and Old Testament pointed to Christ, but now it's fully known because of he's come and because of the people that are able to preach the fullness of the gospel. So in last times, again, for the sake of you, again, Peter's reminding them, this is all for you, what God the Father has done. And it says, through him, and who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. And we come back around to what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. And then that's the source of our hope. That's the source of our faith. That's what we're looking forward to. And Peter, again, has been telling us again and again, and this is he's making sure we really, really, really get it. This is what God has done. And our response, really, Amy, I think has to be thanksgiving.
Oh, I think so, too. We know we don't deserve it. But he loves us so much that he's willing to give himself as a sacrifice, as a ransom for our sinfulness. And I'm so thankful. And I know that it's only through him that I could even have this day to even speak.
Yes, yes. And so once we come to know that and we're in relationship with Jesus Christ, then we actually desire to be like him.
Yes. And it's a beautiful thing I want to read from, and this is in the study guide, ladies. This is, we talk about Naomi's table being a Titus chapter 2 ministry. So I want to read this little bit of it here, because we always talk about the part where older women in the faith help the younger women in the faith understand the reason for the faith and walking in holiness. And it says this starting in verse 11 in chapter 2. It says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. And it goes on there, but that's what the Holy Spirit does. That's what grace does. It teaches us all these things that we should for sure can't do. I mean, we don't have that in our innate nature, do we, Connie?
Oh, no. And truly, the Christian life is a life of growth.
Yes, it is. And we're still growing, right, ladies? All right. Well, Connie, thank you so much for being here. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, Nancy and I will talk a little bit more about this and talk about those practical tips about holiness that we all need to be reminded of from time to time. So we'll be right back.